From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center, where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.
The reading is taken from the Symphony of the Zodiac, Chapter 8. The use of full moon meditations is increasing year after year all over the world. And people are not only doing their individual full moon meditation, but are also aligning themselves with other groups at the full moon time. It is written that eventually, all over the world, synchronous and unanimous meditation will be established to contact the energy of the sign, contact the hierarchy, and serve as a transmitter for the zodiacal energies and for the hierarchical plan. This will be the basic foundation of the New World religion. Master Dwal Kool says, from the standpoint of esoteric truth, the constellations, zodiacal signs, and planets are simply embodied lives. Lives manifesting through the forms of planets and constellations, and the expression of the life, the quality, the purpose, and the intent of the beings who have brought them into manifestation. It is only through conscious preparation that we can contact these great beings and direct and use their energy for the plan of the hierarchy. Conscious preparation involves, among many other things, an attitude of mental and spiritual serenity, the existence of notes that will key in with the chords of the constellations. These notes are elevated aspirations and orientations upon the ray energies of the constellations. That is why it is so important that disciples all over the world key themselves in with the energy of configurations of the full moons to channel as a group the flow of zodiacal energies to all spheres of human endeavors. Virgo is called the womb of time, in which the seeds of great values are planted, shielded, nourished, and revealed. It is the labor of Virgo that eventually brings out into manifestation the Christ principle within the individual and within the race of men. Every idea, plan, individual, or group that comes in contact with the energy of Virgo eventually develops universality and a deep sacrificial nature.
Good evening. Good evening. You had a good day? Mm-hmm. Oh, I've had such a good day. It's been one of those days that are historically wonderful. So many good things have happened. I can hardly wait till next year. Virgo. Okay, let's start with thinking about the two keynotes. A Virgo, the lower keynote and then the higher octave keynote. We know that the lower keynote, first of all, relates to the personality. It relates to average humanity. And in some cases, it also relates to an aspirant who's just about ready to break through, realizing that he's not just a physical, emotional, mental body, but is a spiritual being. So even though the word lower is there, you know, this is a very important keynote. According to the Tibetan, he says the keynote is, and the word said, let matter reign. Let matter reign. R-E-I-G-N. Which the, what he is saying here is that we will reach a point in our own soul's growth where matter must be broken. It is not surprising when you become acquainted with a Virgo who is not yet awakened to the light of the soul to be very focused upon his personal life, striving to increase his financial base, striving to gain scholarship credentials, to become an important person, you know, in the community, so that matter will reign. As a disciple, until we reach our higher state of being, which is living in the spiritual triad, for a disciple, sometimes he or she will turn around and look at that aspirant or that average-minded humanity and be very critical. But the disciple or the initiate who lives in the spiritual triad will recognize that this is a very important stage of growth. If we don't go through the process of building our ego, then there is nothing to throw away. So, as you are perhaps even within your own family having to deal with a child who is building the ego, the personality, or is trying to continuously gather attention, draw attention to him or herself, recognize that this is a cycle that this child as a human soul is going through. And the word said, let matter reign. So there is a point in time where that matter, the ego, of the nature of that person becomes so powerful that he finally becomes disgusted with himself. An experience occurs in his life, a crisis occurs, a difficult situation arises, which is usually based on meeting his karma, and he realizes that all the position, all the matter that he has accumulated, the strength, the recognition he's achieved and received within his family, within the community, and so forth, is superfluous to what the essence of his life should be. And he feels forlorn. He begins to wander in the desert. That is the challenge then, going through the different stages of Virgo, where eventually that soul, responding or reacting to the constellation of Virgo, reaches a crescendo point and he says, who am I? Who am I really? Once he strips himself away of that which is changeable. So the lure of matter must be broken. If you know a Virgo person, you can see the different stages, or in my case, I know lots of Virgos, and you can see, you know, the different stages that that human soul, you know, has gone through, or is focused, or maybe stuck in. Then we move to the higher keynote, and the higher keynote really relates to the disciple. And when we're defining a disciple, we know there's so many levels of discipleship, so many degrees of discipleship. But essentially, in this regard, a disciple who's responding to the higher keynote is responsive to his soul or angel. And in being responsive to the soul or angel, will act upon the guidance of the soul or angel. So when we reach that point in our evolution as a soul, then the higher keynote becomes very important to us. And the higher keynote is, I am the mother and the child, I God, I matter in. This is very interesting because this is now giving us knowledge of the evolution of the soul. How the soul comes in and what the purpose of incarnation is for the life of the soul and what the goal is. So that's all, you know, embedded in this higher keynote. So for example, I am the mother. We know through the teachings that the mother represents the form aspect, the nurturing aspect and the form aspect. The child, so I am the mother and the child. Logic tells us, just based on life itself, that the mother is going to give birth to the child, emerging from the womb, emerging from matter. This is very interesting. The new self is born and then strives to perfection. So in the higher keynote, I am the mother and the child, I God, the understanding of I God, this is what we are striving to become. We're striving toward perfection. What happens for us in the world of discipleship, almost maddeningly so, is that we go through this rebirthing process, life after life after life. So we are born in matter, then we have to give birth to the greater part of ourself. When we're born, physically born, we go through a recapitulation stage. During that recapitulation stage, for a disciple, is like a review. And the more conscious the soul is in the recapitulation stage, the shorter that stage will be, the shorter the duration will take place. Isn't it like we could compare it to the evening review? The first few years of our treading the path of discipleship, we're very excited to learn about the evening review. This is great. And it could, because it's a way to erase the slate and recreate it, just like an artist or a filmmaker, I guess, that could clip out the bad parts and insert, you know, the good ones. However, what happens is that eventually the evening review is no longer efficient enough because of the intensity of our days. So at that point, we find that we no longer are going through an evening review, but maybe a hourly review or a quarterly review during the day. We can break the day up into four parts. And then there comes a time where it's like our consciousness is standing objectively aside from our nature and seeing the messes we're getting ourselves into, or the stupidities that our mouths are speaking and our thoughts, you know, are expressing. We're not yet able to control it, but at least we're recognizing it. And in that recognition, through our observation, we are slowly, slowly giving birth to another aspect, or let's say another stage of existence for the human soul. It's like the, take the concept or the idea of the door. That we have a door, many, many doors to open so our human soul can walk through that door. And we must prepare the environment. Yeah, that's our next door neighbor practicing the drums, and he's really good at it. So we must prepare our environment, and in this case it's our mental environment, our emotional environment, as well as the physical, through observation. So at some point, perhaps at a full moon, or another important moment in the life of the soul, that soul will be ready to go through the door and take an initiation. So the evening review and eventually quarterly and hourly and then minutely observation is very, very important. But don't do the minute-to-minute observation until you have a good amount of concentration and positive thinking and feel like you're really in contact with that higher self. There are many reasons for that, but just take that as a good instruction. So now we go back to this higher keynote, I am the mother and the child, I God, I matter am. Now we're seeing equilibrium. It's important to create an atmosphere of equilibrium. We can't be all spirit, we can't be all matter. We want to, what? We want to increase our light. Increasing our light then means we're increasing spirit. But we can't increase spirit without putting it somewhere. And that's where service comes in. We don't want to increase our light if we're not prepared to increase our service. In talks on Agni, it tells us in there, first of all, don't enter the spiritual path until you are truly, sincerely ready to make a commitment to be a spiritual human being. Once you're ready to make that commitment, like meditation, another example, we're told, don't begin meditating until you are ready to make a lifelong commitment to do so. Once you're ready to make that commitment, then begin. And the same is with the spiritual path. And the reason is, as our light increases, so do our burdens. The burdens of responsibility increase. Our burden of service increases. You know, some people take an issue with the term burden. Well, we're thinking esoterically. To the physical body, to the physical brain, sometimes service and responsibility takes a heavy weight. It is a heavy weight. We're exhausted sometimes. The body's exhausted at the end of the day. But if we are meditating every day, if our service is in alignment with the higher self and with the purpose of our life, physical exhaustion is nothing because we carry joy with us. We carry the fiery energy of Agni within our consciousness. Our heart is aflame. So we find in, as our service is increasing, as our responsibilities increase and our burdens increase, so does the light. Psychic energy increases. We can get four times as much done than a normal person can, an average person can. And I think we as a group are certainly exemplary of that. You know, when people come here, they think they're going to meet 150 people. Well, they are. One person represents 5 or 7 or 10 because we are doing the work. I am the mother and the child. I, God, I, matter, am. So we're increasing our light and balancing our light and love and increasing fiery power with service and matter. At the time of Virgo, think of this. At the time of Virgo, disciples will prepare educational methods which will lead the consciousness of humanity to the recognition of the child, the hope of glory in each human being. This is what is meant by the new education. We're taking this class now on Wednesday night on transformation through education, and we will be spending a lot of time talking about the new era education. We've been engaged in the new education ever since we began taking classes, you know, spiritual classes, classes that are reflecting of the plan of hierarchy. Now we need, just the way hierarchy does, when they receive the plan from Shambhala and they structure it into an outline, and then that outline is passed down to initiates and disciples and aspirants. We, as disciples, are now being charged with the responsibility of formulating the new education into a universal experience, a universal opportunity for others to experience. So they, too, can recognize that they must give birth to that child. Who was it? Someone, maybe I mentioned this earlier, someone was, some Hollywood personality was being interviewed on television, and he was going through a very depressed time in his life. And he met a person who talked to him about being a divine spark. And that might have been, well, it's not important to this. But it was with that, it's not Science of Mind, Scientology, the Church of Scientology. And now he's become a great spokesman for that church. The minute he discovered that he was more than just a body, a good-looking body, that he was a divine being, a divine spark that was part of God, said it changed his entire life. We take this knowledge for granted. We read it all the time. It is so much a part of us. But think of this poor, handsome man who's very depressed and he can't see any purpose to his life. And someone tells him, you are a divine spark. You are more than your body. And this is what he was saying. He says, I am more than my physical body. I am more than my emotional body. I am more than my mental body. This is the new education. Disciples will prepare educational methods which will lead the consciousness of humanity to the recognition of the child, the hope of glory in each human being. Now, next month will be Libra. We'll be celebrating the full moon of Libra. This is the time when the human soul will have an opportunity to make a choice between becoming a spiritual being or staying stuck in matter? Which is he going to choose? The spiritual path or the path of matter? This month, no matter how illumined we all feel we are or not, we have an opportunity to give birth to a new level, okay, for our human soul. This is so important, to strive to a new level of perfection, a new level of consciousness. So tonight, during our meditation time, and tomorrow, because the full moon here is at 12:37, we need to really elevate our consciousness, put our awareness in as high a level as we can, make contact with something higher than ourselves, greater than ourselves, and see if we cannot be impressed with guidance of how we should take this next step. How can we create an environment that's so charged with fiery energy that we can make terrific advancement for our human soul this year, this coming year? I've listed 5 methods in which we can open the door to a new level of life for our soul, our human soul. And I'll test you on this later. The test will be, did you do it? Not to remember it. Okay, the first method is to make contact, a higher contact. Are you in conscious contact with your soul or angel? When you are in trouble, when you need guidance, can you quiet yourself and make contact just like that with your soul or angel? Can you do this? If not, then this is the first step. You know, of the 5 methods, you want to make contact with a higher note. Now, in this case, since we're in this energy of Virgo, we want to make a contact with a note, a higher note, that will have a resonance with the chord of Virgo. The higher note is a solar angel whose frequency will include the frequency of your chalice. This is, if we knew how to create a hologram out here, we can imagine it. You know, imagine ourselves just not as a physical form, not as matter, but that divine spark. You know, we're just eliminating matter at this point. We're pure consciousness. And in this pure consciousness, we're making contact with a greater light. And this greater light is the solar angel who is holding the spirit or chalice at a point of tension. The solar angel is resonating to the chord of Virgo, bringing that frequency, that chord, musical chord, into the chalice. And through the tension between the chalice and the human soul, in this case our consciousness, just for a moment, we are making contact that is increasing our wattage from, let's say, 10 watts to 5,000 watts. That's big. That's really big. Now, if you're already in conscious contact with your soul or angel, move beyond that. This time, challenge yourself, strive to make contact with the Master. We know that the solar angel, we know the master, are both in resonance to the constellations, the whole symphony of the zodiac. When our consciousness becomes, let's just say, musically charged, spiritually charged with each chord of each constellation, we will become a symphony. We will become an instrument to help manifest the plan for hierarchy when we are in incarnation. So we are continually giving birth, first for ourselves, creating new levels, opening new doors, creating new environment for our human. So if we can try to hear the striking of the chord as each constellation, as the sun goes through each constellation and transmits it through the different layers of cosmos, and this chord is heard by hierarchy, by Christ, by hierarchy, by our solar angel, by initiates, by disciples, eventually we will not just think about hearing this chord, we will hear it. We can hear it through the practice of virtues. Each virtue has a particular note, a key note. And these key notes truly have a sound and a color. And as our consciousness expands, our human soul lives in greater and greater frequency, we will have the ability to hear and to hear the sounds and to see the colors, and understand why these virtues associated with each constellation are so important to us. So when we, you know, year after year after year, study the virtues associated with each constellation, expand your consciousness a bit and think about this great symphony, cosmic symphony, that's playing on a cosmic harp and sounding a chord on this harp that is radiating virtue, and that we are transmitting these virtues into our life, into our thinking life, into our creative life. If you were born during the solar month of Virgo, as a sun or rising sign, your soul has an opportunity to experience an electrical impulse. Listen to this. To experience an electrical impulse that will give birth to new ideas. You'll be impressed with new ideas. If you're not a Virgo, don't give up. Don't hang it up, you know. Say, oh, I don't have to pay attention tomorrow. I'm not a Virgo, you know, but I'm going to take time out tomorrow to be impressed with new ideas. Why is this? Because a new idea is charged with electrical energy, creative energy, the energy of the higher self. One of the things that occurs is a healing. Mental healing, emotional healing, your heart will be healed. Your past ugly images can be healed. So give yourself time to be impressed with a new idea. The Tibetan says, in Virgo, the purpose for which the form life exists begins to be realized. I can't begin to tell you the number of people on the path, students and teachers alike, that have said, you know, I'll be so glad when I can check out of this life. You know, but that's not a wise statement. Because once we check out, we can still be of service But until we have continuity of consciousness, we're not going to grow. In Virgo, the purpose for which the form life exists begins to be realized. So what happens is that we're no longer wasting our time. We're no longer in a job that is just a job to make money, to pay bills, to give to somebody else. We're going to be in a job that's reflective of the purpose of our life, or we'll be in a job that will afford us an opportunity to apply our knowledge in service. So we all want to recognize during this time of Virgo, the full moon of Virgo, the purpose of the form life. Why does it exist? He says, our divinity, our soul, must cyclically incarnate into matter to manifest the Christ, the hope of glory. So are we doing that? We're striving to do that in different gradations. But we must remember it and not throw our time away. In Symphony of the Zodiac, it says, the Christ is the principle which bridges the lowest with the highest. The Christ is the principle which bridges the lowest with the highest. Why is that? Why do we have this principle? If we perhaps can just think this way, what does the Christ represent to us? To you? To us as a group.
Yes.
Okay, love. What does love do? Love nourishes. Think of the mother giving birth to the child, nourishing that child in the womb, and then giving birth to what she has nourished, creating a beautiful, magnificent environment for it to form itself into matter and gives birth to it. So the Christ principle is one of nurturing through love. So that's the first point. The first point, the first method is to make contact with something, or let's say a note greater than ourselves. The second method is meditation. Well, that comes as a surprise. Meditation, when rightly undertaken, will create experiences of revelation. How exciting! This is truly exciting. We don't have to wait to read a book about someone else's revelation. Through the practice, regular practice of meditation, we can experience revelation. Virgo stands for revelation. A revelation, in this case, let's say, just one example, is a treasure that radiates to you from your chalice. If we have no need for a revelation, if we're not serving except our selfish needs, we will not be in need of a revelation. Not a true revelation. Not a revelation that reveals the content of the chalice. That revelation will remain hidden until there is an experience as a result of your meditation. An experience as a result of your meditation means that you're building an environment. You're creating your aura with a substance that is increasing the light and love and power of the aura. This serves as a magnetic, your aura then serves as a magnetic force field in which it will draw to you an event that will then give you an experience of revelation. an event that evokes the need to know, or to be, or to give. Also, there's a point here. Let's say that a person is living a really good life, but it's sort of like a horizontal, you know, it's a horizontal experience. They're just good people. They oftentimes, frequently what happens, a good person like that needs something to give them a jump start, to move beyond being just a good person into awakening to something greater than who they think they are. And right now they're just being a good person because mom and dad told them they had to be. Or their minister said, you have to be a good person. You have to live a good life to be saved. But then they reach a point where they need something more than that. If they don't get it, frequently they fall off of that pedestal of goodness. So that's another way to experience a revelation brought to you by your soul or angel. Think of this. Imagine what it would be like to have a momentary experience on the Buddhic level of consciousness and to know it. Imagine that you're not any longer on the periphery of the spiritual triad, but that you're drawn into that triad by the help of your master for a moment to experience a revelation. This is what our future holds for us. At the exact time of the full moon tomorrow, in concentration and meditation, you can penetrate into your chalice and through the help of the solar angel be impressed with the revelation, giving birth to a new level of self. A veil will lift and you can say, yes, I see, I understand. When this occurs, you will have been given birth to another level of yourself. And we can do this year after year after year if we can hold the charge, the electrical charge. The third point is purification. Third method is purification. Especially during the 7 days of the full moon of Virgo, you can undertake fasting, physical, emotional, mental fasting, and preparation to understand the divinity within you. When you make contact with that divinity within you, you will no longer be depressed. Your personal life will not depress you. Realistically, we understand you can be depressed as a disciple because of world glamour, because of the condition of humanity. But it is a different kind of depression. It's not a clinical problem. You know, it's not a clinical depression. It is a spiritual experience. When we begin to understand the divinity that is within our nature, we can begin then to understand and strive to understand what is preventing us from realizing our essential self. What is the obstacle? What are the limitations? In other words, the glamour is an illusion. Not only that, we can realize the purpose of our life in this life, the purpose of our past life, and the purpose of our future life. Purification, that's all it takes. I wrote in here, we are such a lazy humanity. We want everything to be given to us, but we're not ready to sacrifice anything for it. We think we're sacrificing because we have such hard days. Geez, we work so hard, you know. So why aren't I given this and this and this and this? We have to ask ourselves, what are we ready to sacrifice? And the purpose of sacrifice is to clear the way for further service, to give who we are and what we are in service. Most people don't have anything to give. Disciples want to give away all that does not serve the plan of their soul. Their glamours, their illusions, their unhealthy thoughts, their prejudices, their jealousies, and this and that. And this is why disciples have huge problems. You know, if we didn't have these monumental monsters to grab our attention, we wouldn't know we had something we had to give away, get rid of, to purify. We still think we're just nice people, a little advanced. So disciples are much more ornery than aspirants. A disciple, we're told disciples must simplify their lives. It's not just giving away our money and our clothes and our furniture and our cars. Actually, it's not that at all. Why not? Because there are certain of those things we need to help us serve. Unless we've taken a vow to, like Mother Teresa did, to live in a impoverished country with poor people. But we can't be poor and serve the rich. Not in this country. And we can't be, well, I'm not going to go there, never mind. We don't have enough time. We want to simplify our life to such a point where all that we have can be used in service for others. Where all that we have can be used in service for others. The most beautiful, the most essential. We also want to pay our karmic debts. So while we're serving others, we're also over here paying our karmic debts. In order to do this, we must rid ourselves of many lifetimes of burdens, transgressions, of living our life as a personality rather than the soul. And this is why Master Moria said, bless the obstacles, for through them we grow. For many lives, the disciple lives in pain and suffering. What does this mean for us? It means we're wandering in the valley of loneliness. We may be surrounded by 100 people. If you ever really observed Torkum, when all those students, disciples around him, students around him, were loving him, devoting themselves to him, serving him, did you ever really see him? His loneliness, he was not lonely in the valley of pain and suffering for himself, but for us. He wanted us to reach that level of consciousness where he was. He felt our pain. He felt our sorrows. He felt our suffering. He saw our darkness. And he was lonely because he wanted us to be where he was in consciousness. And we were just very busy trying to impress him. Between tomorrow, the full moon, and the 22nd of September, which is on a Friday, which is the autumn equinox,
between the autumn, the full moon, the autumn equinox, and the winter solstice, which this year is the 21st, disciples undergo a very strenuous self-imposed plan of purification. It's best and most wise not to tell anybody what you're doing so you won't be sabotaged. Just do it. Observe your glamours. Observe an illusion, a glamour. Observe the impediments that are enslaving your soul from advancing. What needs to be transformed? What needs to be purified? Don't choose a dozen things. Just work on one. That's concentration without fanaticism. You can pure, you can make yourself ready to give birth to a new level of yourself through purification disciplines. Okay, the fourth method is nourishment. How do we nourish ourselves? See, here we've gone through making contact. We are in the process of meditating. We are in the process of purification exercises. Now we must also nourish. We can't put all the spiritual tension on us without love, without nourishment, without nourishing ourselves. So how do we do that? Creative endeavor. Because love is an energy. It's not inertia. See, it is an energy, so love is active. Love is an energy that we can put into creative activity. Studying the teaching is another way to nourish. Not something you have to do. I have to read this 2 pages before class tonight in case I have to answer a question. You know, if that's your attitude, then that's not studying the teaching. You know, it's taking a, not a novel, not something that says, wow, this looks like, look at here, this is has a teaching in it. It's not. It's not charged with hierarchical energy. So you take a book, any of the books that we have on these shelves, any the Agni Yoga books, take a verse, and every day, just 5 minutes, nurture yourself by studying. Wow, did I go off on a tangent on this one? Jeez, we are so out of time. Think of this. Think of this. Look at our politicians today. Would you say that our politicians are spiritual human beings? Generally speaking. We know Jimmy Carter is, you know. Okay. He's no longer, you know, president, so he's doing better work. Do you think they are taking time to nourish their souls? I get the biggest kick out of the masses of television, major television networks, that rush to the church when a president goes into the church. And the president is there at the top of the steps waving with his wife. Someday she'll be waving with her husband. As they then go into the church to pray. They're just bringing attention to their religion. Hey, this is not being spiritual. We want to see our politicians living a spiritual life. We want to see them caring about humanity, not keeping humanity poor. I remember making a astrological forecast back in, the late 70s, that we would not have a new healthcare system until about 2002 or 2003. So let's say 25 years. Look how hard President Clinton worked to get a health care program. Now it's become one of the issues to be elected is the health care. How stupid. Meanwhile, people are dying. Children can't receive the care they need. We cannot say that we have spiritual people in office and they can stand there and let people die. Young ones die. Or that an 85 or 90 year old woman or man is laying in bed uncared for. This is not a spiritual person, a spiritual politician. We would rather see our politicians during election time saying, let my work do the advertising. I have to be out in the trenches bettering education, saving children, working for the common good instead of raising money. If they were raising money so they could do better work, that would be one thing, but that money isn't going for that. It's paying for the television, for magazines, you know, for train rides and plane rides and going to Iowa and shaking the hand of the farmer. But the farms are dying because they don't have the money to understand the science of the earth. So, okay, so I really got off on this. I'm sorry. Okay, very quickly, the fifth method is then to live a spiritual life. So we have five methods that we can give birth to the soul. Sherry Singh, four? Only four methods? 4 minutes. Well, we're just so out of time. We're going to put this up on the internet so you can read about it. But we are in such a highly charged time in this full moon. It is a very special full moon of Virgo, more than it is on a typical annual basis. So, we're going to spend 15 minutes for meditation, which will take us to 8:15. If your schedule needs to take you outside now, you know, we'll give you a minute to get up and walk out. Otherwise, you might want to stand and move around a second, and then